Welcome to Walk My Mind. Walk My Mind is a holistic approach to wellness that connects the dots of physical, mental, and emotional health. We're going to spend some time right now with a very unusual guest, somebody who is faith-based. Her name is Venus DeMarco. She's got a book out called Fearless, My Journey That Healed Breast Cancer and Her Life Through Faith. Fun and food. Venus, welcome to Walk My Mind.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your journey. In 2009, you were diagnosed with breast cancer. What went through your mind at that very instant?
Well, it's very interesting because when you're first diagnosed, what people don't really understand unless they've had a diagnosis, that you actually go into shock. But I wasn't surprised because I had a 9-centimeter tumor, and that tumor was there for quite a while before I went in and had it, you know, had it checked. So for me, I wasn't surprised. But you go into, but you know, I'm always like hopeful, you know, maybe it isn't, but you go into shock. And my story is not like, oh, woe is me. It's actually kind of funny. I think it will open people's eyes to a lot of things around breast cancer and how you feel when you do get diagnosed. But I knew from the minute I was diagnosed that I was going to live. I wasn't done on this earth. But everybody around me, all the doctors were freaking out because I not only had a 9-centimeter tumor, I had tumors rotating around it. So I always say it's kind of like Venus and Saturn.
Wow. How big is 9 centimeters? I can't do the math.
Like 4 inches, 4 inches.
Oh, my gosh. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. I don't do anything little, Mark.
I can see that. And did you immediately say, I'm not going to go through traditional therapies, I'm going to heal this myself?
You know, I knew deep down I was not going to go through the traditional route, but I will be honest, there are moments when you go, well, maybe I should just do this, maybe. But, you know, God was saying, no, no, no. I have another way. I have another path for you. And I just kept listening. You know, I did go have quite a few opinions because I knew I was going to write a book, and I wanted people to go through this journey with me, and so I did have many opinions because I wasn't going to have anybody say, oh, she really didn't have anything, that she really wasn't diagnosed. Oh, I was, and they all freaked out over me. I mean, I think they thought I'd be dead by now because there is a big fear tactic around being diagnosed. It's a big money business.
Absolutely, and it's been 8 years.
It sure has, and I still have my girls.
Hey, did you ever have any doubts while you were going through treatment, or was it just absolutely sure that you were going to go ahead and use alternative means?
I never had any conventional treatment, none. I had no surgery, no radiation, and no chemo. In fact, I gave up my health insurance because it was high, and I realized I had to walk in faith. If I had that, would I give up? And I knew I'd never have a welfare mastectomy, so I was like, I mean, they're already dangerous enough. So, but I do want to tell people as we're talking, this was my choice. I'm not telling people what to do. I just have a story, and my story isn't about what to do once you have cancer. It's why are we getting cancer, and what can we do to prevent it?
A lot of people think that cancer is genetic. Do our genes play a part, a role in this? For example, do you have breast cancer in your family?
You know, I never had a gene test. I didn't really care because it wasn't going to change anything. But from everything I've studied, all the experts say it's only 2% of genetic expression is tied to our genes. The remaining 98% is within control of our diet, lifestyle, and environment. So, You know, I think that all this gene testing, especially the way the conventional doctors do it, is more for fear. And, you know, fear can cause disease. If you believe you have a gene and you believe you're going to get something, you will get it. So what if I just say your genes are not your destiny? You know, there's a study called metagenomics, which examines even how foods and food constituents affect your gene expression. You know, they've done studies with pregnant women, change their diet, and change the gene expression of the baby. So
wow.
We have so much control over our health, but we have to get up off our butts and do something about it. We live in a very toxic world, not just environmentally, but everything. I don't even have TV anymore. I'm not going to listen to the stuff that's out there anymore. It just takes people down.
No, it does, especially the news. There's no question.
Oh. And whatever happened when news was on at, you know, 6 in the morning and 6 at night, and that was it. Now it's on 24/7 on every station. You know, think about it. That's not good for people.
No, it's and I was watching the news with my wife the other night, and we turned it off after 3 minutes. We wanted a weather report. I don't even remember why, and because they're not accurate either. And
that's for sure.
Right. And then at the same time, it was just negative, negative, negative. And I just can't do that. Have you heard of epigenetics?
I sure have. And epigenetics is very important because it's the study of the chemical reactions and factors that influence our DNA. So, you know, you can change the gene expression in a cell with a turn of a dial. So I always say, you control this. It's an on and off switch. And then people will say to me, but my mother, my grandmother, my sister had, you know, this and this and that. And I say, you know what? I see lots of families being diagnosed with the same diseases, but I personally believe that it's because families have the same habit, good or bad, and then they pass it on from generation to generation. And if we look back, think about it, the generation of my mother and the generation of my grandmother, everybody did not die at such a young age. In fact, my grandmother's generation hardly got cancer at all until maybe their 70s and higher. So, and I mean, you have to look at the whole picture.
No, absolutely. In our society, you said that we have a toxic world, really. We've got, you know, GMOs. There are preservatives in a lot of our food. Our food is not fresh, and it's processed to death and causes death, really.
Mm-hmm.
How big a role does food and diet play in preventing and maybe even curing cancer, in your opinion?
Yeah, it has a very big role. But I will say this. First is thoughts and stress. Because when we have bad thoughts and we're under so much stress, now there is some good stress, like working out and stressing your body and stressing your heart a little bit and stressing the muscles so they stretch or build. But people now live under stress 24/7. Stress was meant for short periods of time. So their cortisol levels, their adrenals usually burn out. Cortisol is high. So I want to say the most important thing is the stress in our lives and our thoughts. Our thoughts are powerful because the body is a servant of the mind. You keep saying something, it will happen. I kept saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. That's it. I wouldn't let anybody speak any other words over me. But our food, what has happened to society? I just put something out on Facebook. It was the greatest commercial I ever saw. And it was everybody, everywhere this woman went, nobody was paying attention. They were on their cell phones, blah, blah, you know, all of that. She gets home and she puts a table in her hallway, and everybody from the apartment on that floor came and they all ate together. Now, we used to eat together. families had breakfast and dinner together, sometimes lunches together. This is a very important factor because it actually balances hormones when you sit together and talk and eat. People have gotten lazy. They don't cook anymore. Cooking is easy, and I teach cooking classes and private classes. I want to teach people how to get back to making food again.
And you have a new book out coming out, too, or has it come out? My Healing Kitchen.
Yeah, I have a cookbook. It's a PDF right now. It has not been made into a paperback because there's a lot of work that would have to be done. But it's on my website. It's very inexpensive for over 84 recipes and a lot of information. So, yes, food is our life. It's our bloodline. We have to get nutrients in it, dense nutrients. And I'm Italian. What can I say?
I can't wait to come for dinner. Our guest is Venus DeMarco. She beat the odds, and now she shows others how to do it. She teaches people how to have a healing journey to a cancer-free life. It's better, obviously, to be cancer-free than to treat cancer. Would you not agree?
I would. In fact, I believe that prevention is the cure. You know, there are cures out there. I always see, we're going to come up with a cure. Give us another $1 billion and we'll come up with a cure. But the cure is prevention. And we can prevent this disease 98%. Sometimes maybe more. I don't know. I'm not God. All I know is if I knew what I knew 10 years before I got diagnosed and changed my life, everything about my life, I believe my body would have just taken care of it, and I never would have got the diagnosis. But I did. It's my journey, and I'm here to help people and just to inspire people to know. I want everybody to think about this. What if you could live a long life even with cancer? How about that?
Absolutely.
What if it's not a death sentence? What if it's not a death sentence, and we have made it into a death sentence?
You earlier said that cancer is a big money maker. Do you want to expand on that?
Well, if I recall, the last time I just saw 64 or 66 holistic doctors have been mysteriously found dead who cured cancer naturally or talked out against vaccines. It is a $1 trillion business, and they make a lot of money. They've actually learned to keep us alive a little, you know, longer. Like I remember when my grandfather had cancer, once they started treating him, he didn't live very long. They have learned to keep us alive longer, not a quality of life, because if you get cancer a second time, they make another $1 million off of you. You know?
Yeah, cancer is a big money, is big business. There's no question about it.
Such a big business.
Do you think that and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but let's go there. preservatives, GMOs, these have all been linked to cancer and other serious diseases. Additives in our food. One of the other things would be the processing of foods rather than just natural eating a carrot right out of the ground, eating a tomato off a tomato plant. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, of course. I don't believe that Monsanto eats their own genetically modified food.
Or the I'm trying to think of the chemical that they put on all the plants, the herbicides.
The Roundup.
Roundup and yes, exactly. Yes.
And so what we have to look at is why did it get so hard to put ingredients in a bowl, whip it up, and put it in the oven? Why do we have to have a box and then add an egg and add oil? And usually the oil that people add is hydrogenated oil. What happened to just making food? And fresh vegetables are not hard. I mean, everybody wants to do everything quick. And for some reason, they think that vegetables are the hardest part of it, and it's the most important. We have got to get our greens in. I juice every day. Sometimes I may do a green smoothie, but I'm a big juicer. I eat vegetables. Vegetables are the main part of my diet.
Do you eat? You're a plant-based chef. Do you do anything? Do you eat any kind of meat? And if so, do you only eat clean, organic meat?
No, I've been a vegan for a very long time. Now there will be. I'm not like crazy. There have been times when I've eaten.
I have heard other rumors, by the way, about that.
Yeah. No, sometimes I'll eat an egg from a friend of mine's chicken who I know what they've been fed. But basically, I would say that's maybe once or twice a year. I'm definitely plant-based, very happy with it. It's a very kind lifestyle for me. It does something. I know that when I became a vegan this time 8 years ago, now I had been when I was younger on and off. I experimented with vegetarianism and veganism because I had such a love for animals. This time I went in for health reasons, and then it became a compassion issue. And I noticed that you just have this really, whenever you eat, you have a very peaceful feeling about your food. This is my choice. Again, of course, I wish everybody was, or at least people would cut their animal products down a lot. We don't need that much animal products in our diet.
What kinds of foods, what are you going to have for dinner tonight, for example? You mentioned smoothies. That's usually, you know, morning, maybe even lunch, but...
Well, I do juice. I did a big green juice today, and I have a little bit left, which I'll probably drink this afternoon. And then I made a beautiful muffin, which was a grain-free muffin. I make a beautiful flour that's grain-free, and it's not high glycemic like a lot of your gluten-free. And I put, but there were vegetables and savory ingredients, and I had some of that this morning for breakfast with some vegan beautiful cultured butter on it and some avocado. So I'm going to meet someone for lunch today at one of the raw vegan restaurants, so I'll have a really nice lunch. Tonight, I think I might have some quinoa with some sauteed kale and Swiss chard, and I made a tahini curry sauce the other day, and I think Ooh. I'll that on top of it.
Send us that. We want the zucchini curry sauce. That sounds good.
It's a tahini curry sauce.
Oh, tahini. I thought you said zucchini. Yes. But it still sounds very good. Curry is one of my favorite things. In looking at food, what do you think the percentage is of what we eat can activate cancer in a body?
Oh, you know, that's a hard question to answer because there are some people who are just so healthy, they could eat 80% good and 20% bad.
Or even 80% bad and 20% good. But some people do.
Yeah, you know, most people do.
Right.
80 bad and good. I think, though, people that eat really healthy, when we eat really bad, we're not used to feeling bad, so we know the feeling. I don't like my food to make me tired or to take my energy. I like it to give me energy and get me through the day.
I want to go back to something that I dropped, and it's my fault. You mentioned our thoughts, you know, stress. You know, in the 21st century, everybody is stressed. You know, we're inundated with advertising and media and social media and our computers, and we're exposed to electronics. We're rushing around in our cars. We're doing all this stuff. How does that affect our body? The stress first, and then we'll talk about thoughts.
Well, stress and thoughts to me are the same, because when you're stressed, you have bad thoughts. If you're having bad thoughts, you stress your body out. So to me, they're really about the same thing. And I want you to look at just imagine a circle, and at the top is stress. So if you're stressed, you don't exercise, you don't eat right, and then you don't sleep right, right? Now, let's look at it from the left side of the circle. If you don't sleep right, you don't exercise, and you don't eat right, you're stressed. Because it will affect your sugar levels, your glucose, It can make you insulin resistant, all these things, and then people get into bad moods. I had to realize that all this technology, my computer, my phone go off at a certain time. That's it. I'm done. I don't work into the wee hours of the night unless it's a very important project and I have to get it done. I have just learned that when I get up in the morning, I have 2 hours in the morning that are mine. And if I have to get up a little earlier because I have an early meeting, I do. So you have to choose. So I get up, that's my prayer time, that's my sit down and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, it's maybe take a walk, it's work out. It might just be sit outside and stare at the grass, but it's my time. And it starts, and it starts my day off right.
And you encourage people, to do that. Turn off your computer at a certain time. Don't work late in the night, like Mark may have done till 1 o'clock last night. And have a life.
It's very hard. Like there is no electronics in my bedroom. I have blackout curtains. I even hide my alarm clock, and it wakes me up to the sound of the waves very gently. So there is no light in my bedroom, no electronics, no phone. I don't have any young children that I have to, you know, that I'm fearful that have to call me in the middle of the night. It's very important to shut down the body. We need sleep. I will talk about this until we're all asleep for eternity. But without sleep, the body cannot regulate its melatonin. We must go to bed and be asleep before midnight. And honestly, I go to bed no later than 10. I need my body calmed down. We need to, after 12, the body will not produce melatonin. Melatonin is what protects the estrogens. So now we have little children, think about it, who don't have regular bedtime anymore, sit with electronics on their lap in their bed, and we wonder why children are starting to get more, childhood cancers are on the rise. We're finding breast cancer in young children. Wow. Guess what? We're undoing their hormones at a young age.
And then there's things like plastic bottles that leach into the water. Yeah. Right, and they cause hormonal problems, especially with young girls and women. It's terrible.
Men are getting breast cancer now. Men are getting breast cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a small percentage, but it is growing. It is growing.
Oh, yeah. And boobs are growing because of the estrogen.
And what about inflammation?
Well, all diseases link back to inflammation, but what causes inflammation? I always say there's six pathways to disease. And so even if you have a, let's say you have a weak gene, okay, whatever it is, breast cancer, colon cancer, whatever they say, okay, you know, we're all a little weaker because there is an emotion that goes with every organ.
Right.
So let's say you have a weak gene. It takes two or more pathways to even activate that gene, okay? And there are six pathways, and the number one is mental or stress and thoughts. And then there's nutrition, there's toxins, there's medical, there's exercise, and your environment. So we have to look at all of these pathways, you know, like prescription drugs. They have 21 to 128 side effects. You know, if people would even just exercise 30 minutes a day, you can bring your cancer risk down like 50%.
That's amazing. We're running out of time. I have so many other questions to ask you, but let's talk about faith in God, a belief in a higher spirit. How important is that to fight and prevent cancer?
Well, it's my number one, because I, being a Christian, I believe that I have a birth-given right to be healed. And in the Bible, Jesus healed, and as he left, he said, you will do what I have done 1,000 times more. And it's still when he died at the cross, he said, I take all your sickness, your disease, and your sins. I don't believe that God's word ever comes back void. He said it was already done. You know, your belief is very important. I found comfort in the Lord. He spoke to me many times. He's the one that God told me to write the book. I wasn't a writer. I was an esthetician. All of a sudden, I could write. And
amazing.
I had a story to tell. So to me, yes, your faith is very, very important. We can't just rely on ourselves all the time. That's a lot of stress to put on a human.
We are, unfortunately, out of time, but I have enjoyed speaking with you so much. Our guest has been Venus DeMarco. She has written a book called Fearless, My Journey That Healed Breast Cancer in My Life Through Faith, Food, and as you can hear, lots and lots of fun. Thank you so much for joining us here on Walk My Mind.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks for listening to us here on Walk My Mind. I'm Mark Allen. I'll see you next time.